Hello and welcome to this, our church service from the Church of the Epiphany in London, Ontario, for the 25th of September, 2022. The flowers in the sanctuary today are to the glory of God and in loving memory of dear parents, Leon and Stella, brothers Tom and Art Ouellette, and sister Laura, given by Terry Ouellette. The Jack and Julie, the Phoenixes, are selling cookies for Ukraine for $4. Talk to them to order them. The garage sale bake sale. Thank you very much. That was on Saturday. Thanks to everyone who contributed and helped. Thanks to everyone who continues to support our church, especially during the holidays, during August. The board does gently remind us that the bills continue even when we're not here, so thank you. The apportionment update from the board. We were assessed at $18,595. We've paid $8,000, and we're going to start higher payments in order to pay this obligation by the end of the year. Euchre and Crib Club, Monday, the 26th, 1 to 4. It's every fourth Monday. Come on out. Thanksgiving. We'll be decorating Saturday, October the 1st. Thanksgiving is Sunday, the 9th. And just an idea, if you're looking for a way to express your thanks, how about a donation of food or money to buy food for our outreach? The blessing of the animals is Sunday, October the 2nd at 2. And again, donation of cat food or money to buy cat food is suggested. The penny social will be Friday, October the 14th. We're setting up that day at some in the afternoon, and the doors open at 6:30. You buy your tickets, you place them into the cups that match the prizes that you'd like to win, and then at 7:30 the calling or drawing for the prizes begins, and donations of nice small items are welcome. The 107th church anniversary will be Sunday, October the 16th. We're having a baptism Sunday, October the 23rd. Rinsed empty drink containers for Kiana are collected. Thanks to everyone who helps with the food outreach, especially Butch, who manages our food cupboard. And Sandra's selling mint smoothies, $3. Save your canceled stamps for Gloria Thompson. Check out our website, which Ron keeps up to date for us. Like our page on Facebook. And if you wish, our regular weekly donation or special donation may be sent to our envelope secretary, Barb Smallman, and her address and phone number are in this email that accompanies this service. And now, our worship. Alleluia! The Spirit of the Lord renews the face of the earth. O come, let us worship. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And a prayer. God of power and justice, like Jeremiah, you weep over those who wander from you. Turn aside to other gods, enter into the chaos and destruction. By your tears and through your mercy, teach us your ways and write them on our hearts, so that we may follow faithfully the path you show us. Amen. And a reading from the Gospel according to Luke. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered in sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. And the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the top of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Oh, child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he's comforted here, and you're in agony." Besides all this, between you and us, is a great chasm has been fixed so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Well then, Father, I beg you, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." And Abram replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham. If someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And now, a reflection, a sermon. Today we hear Jesus' parable, a made-up story, not a factual story, not meant to be taken factually, his parable of the rich man and Lazarus. This was the only time Jesus uses the actual name of a person in his parable. The name Lazarus, then, means whom God has helped. This is a story of one whom God has helped. It's interesting to note Charles Dickens used this story as the basis for one of his most famous stories, but he decided to change the ending. Can you guess what the story is? That's right, A Christmas Carol. What happens in this story? Well, we can go through the main points of Charles Dickens' story. Scrooge is a very rich man, but a stingy man, whose former partner, Marley, has died before him. It's nearly Christmas, and Scrooge is, as is his usual way, giving everyone a hard time about the celebration, refusing to take part in any kind of brotherly love. That night, he's visited by his dead friend Marley, who comes to warn Scrooge that his current way of living will lead to a terrible doom in the afterlife. As Scrooge tries to ignore his friend, chalking up the vision to hallucination, Marley informs Scrooge that he will be visited that night by three ghosts. As we know, Scrooge is visited by three ghosts, Christmas past, present, and future. Just like Lazarus asked God to do, to visit his brothers from the dead, so they would change their ways, as Scrooge is brought face to face with his own hurts and pain, he finally realizes the state of his soul, and he repents, only to find it is still Christmas morning. A changed man, Scrooge visits his nephew, brings food, blesses everyone he meets. He has an entire repentance, a total turnaround, a change not only of heart, but of life and action. Now, let's get back to Jesus' story about the rich man and Lazarus. We hear of a rich man who feasted sumptuously every day. He's never lacking for anything. By his gate lays a poor man named Lazarus, the one whom God will help. Lazarus longed for the scraps from the rich man's table. He desired merely the scraps and crumbs. The story doesn't say he ever got any. It only says he longed for them. We don't know if the rich man ever changed or relented, but if he did, it surely wasn't by very much. When he died, he went to be with Abraham. Later, the rich man died as well. The rich man went to Hades, and Lazarus was with Abraham. Oddly, they were able to carry on a conversation, even though Abraham tells him he can't do anything for him because a great chasm has been fixed so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. To this, the rich man asks Abraham it might not send Lazarus to his father's house, for he has five brothers, whom we assume are just as unconcerned with the poor as he was, that they might be warned, so they will not come to the same end as he. However, unlike Dickens' tales, here Abraham replies, "They have Moses and the prophets." When the rich man pleads, "But if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll repent," Abraham replies, If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rises from the dead. What a great story. One of the great metaphors in the story is the Greek word chasm. Although the rich man is in Hades, Lazarus is in heaven, and the man can hold a conversation with Abraham from across the chasm. In fact, Abraham calls him child. Despite his consequences, God has not abandoned the rich man. He has instead, the rich man, chosen his own path. Yet, he still is beloved, if errant, child of God. How do we know this? The word chasm. One of the misconceptions about the story is that we assume that God has fixed this chasm between them. However, the story never says that. In fact, it says plainly that a great chasm has been fixed. Who established the chasm? Well, why, the rich man, of course, all during his lifetime. Let's look at what this means. Remember the meaning of mitzvah. You could say that the great chasm is exactly the opposite act from mitzvah. In fact, we might make a great title for this parable to be the great chasm, because that's exactly the kind of relationship that the man has set up in his life between himself and Lazarus and all others like Lazarus. Culturally, socially, even religiously in Jesus' day, the religious elite, the wealthy, the powerful, lived on one side of the spectrum, while the poor lived exactly on the other side of the spectrum. The wealthy and the powerful stayed in their well-appointed homes, ate well, socialized with each other, felt quite righteous living out their faith according to the rules of the day, namely, do not come in contact with those others. On the other hand, the poor and those outcast from the community languished in poverty, illness, and loneliness. They were the forgotten and the neglected of the social network. They did not seem terrible or unusual to those with food and means. They thought they were just doing what they were supposed to do. But as Jesus pointed out, they followed all the rules, but their hearts were not engaged with these others, at least not the others they deemed unworthy. So it is that they fixed the great chasm between the rich man and the Lazarus. The chasm between them in life was simply reversed in death in this story, but the chasm remains. What was the rich man's failing? Observing the chasm, making a separation between himself and others by doing so between himself and God. As Jesus said, what you do for others is what you do for me. In this, he learned too late from Abraham what it is to fix one's heart on God and others and not on material means. Simply, we're to remain connected with others. We are to care as a church, as a society, as a group. In our political structures, we are to care for everyone around us, regardless of who they are. There is to be no chasm in our thoughts. And so with that challenge, let us now join together in our hymn. And now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again and to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now our prayers. Friends in Christ, God invites us to hold the needs of our sisters and brothers as dear to us as our own needs. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, we offer our thanksgiving and our petitions on behalf of the Church and the world, and proclaim your saving deeds to all the world. Amen. And our prayers have been asked for Shelley and Martin, Sharon, Anne, Mary, Marcel, Tara, Jeff, Nicole and Shelley, Linda, Joyce, Jim, Sharon, Philip, Jackie, Cam, Diana, Ian, Edna, Matthew, Annika, Janice, Darren, Roland, Clark and Alain, Donna, Diane, Norma, Dave, Peter, Dan, Drew, Marilyn, Val, Karen, Bill, Sheila, Jessica, Sonia, Jamie, Joel, Melanie, Marlene, Pam, Joyce, Brooks, Linda, Allen, Eunice, Jean, Marilyn, Connie, Jack and Julie, Kiana, Ellen, Evelyn, Mariko, Debbie, Jade, Dory, Belinda, Kim, Ross, Francis, Bill and Jeff, Michelle, Pat and Grant, Linda, Jean, and Brian. And we pray for Kathy and all who mourn her passing, especially her family and Aunt Julie and Uncle Jack. Hear our prayers, God of power, and through the ministry of your Son, free us from the grip of fear, that we may desire you as the fullness of life. Amen. And Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And a prayer. O God, you call us to embrace both you and the children of this world with unconditional love. Give us the grace to discern what your love demands of us, that being faithful in all things, both great and small, we may serve you with an undivided heart. Amen. And now a blessing from the Book of Common Prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us. As always, feel free to be in touch. It's always great to hear from you. And now, our parting blessing song.
May God's blessings surround you.